The Trump administration and its Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, are making so many changes so quickly that it's often difficult to follow everything that's going on. The Revolving Door Project is trying to remedy that situation by providing a range of resources for the media and the public. The project is regularly updating resources that track public health crises and the Trump administration's defiance of court orders, as well as profiles of DOGE personnel. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Jeff Hauser, the executive director of the Revolving Door Project.
I'm thinking that your organization is used to keeping pretty close track of things, but when the second Trump administration came in, were even you kind of surprised at how fast things were moving?
Absolutely. We were worried about the level of corruption. We felt that the second Trump administration was going to be even more corrupt than the first. And we felt that the first Trump administration would have made Richard Nixon a little bit feel a little awkward had he been president. So we had very low expectations, but Trump has managed to go way lower than we ever imagined possible.
So when did you start your tracking system? Was it pretty much within a month?
We identified DOGE and Elon Musk as big reasons why this administration is different. I mean, that I don't think we should make it only about Elon Musk. Russell Vogt, the head of the Office of Management and Budget, was a key figure in the Trump first administration, and he is the key architect of Project 2025. And we knew he'd been thinking about things, and we'd done research on Russell Vogt, but we did not fully understand how much Trump felt like he'd been a victim and that authorized him to go and use the government not only to enrich himself, but to unleash havoc on all forces that tended to look down upon him. And having Elon Musk to backstop some of the least qualified people that have ever stepped foot into a government office meant that the DOGE figures break laws with impunity. They know that Elon Musk tends to never be held accountable for what laws he breaks, and that with Elon Musk behind them, they really could fear no repercussions from law. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing what happens when people run the government without any feeling that they need to follow the law.
When you're tracking what's going on with DOGE, does it make it even more difficult when they do something and then they roll it back and then they do it again?
So DOGE does make tracking itself very difficult for many reasons. One is that it tries to act in the dark. It doesn't announce itself. It is pro-opacity, anti-transparency. Secondly, they only sort of maybe a little bit comply with judicial orders. They will reverse course to some extent when a judge rules against them, which is, you know, pretty frequent. But we don't know how much they will comply, and that it's always a moving target. They will also sometimes move back when somebody in the government, the Trump administration, disagrees and they get word to Trump or Susie Wiles, the chief of staff, and there's a slight retrenchment of the extremist actions that Musk and his teenagers are undertaking. So it is very difficult to keep tabs on, but that's part of why we're trying to track it. We think that people hear little bits and pieces of different stories about DOGE, but it's very hard to keep track of the breadth of the repercussions. And that's what we are doing now and what we hope to expand upon in the future.
Do you see what they're doing as very incompetent and even inefficient, even though they're supposed to be creating more efficiency?
I don't think they take efficiency seriously in any sense. I think that the name DOGE is not only a joking reference to a particularly stupid type of cryptocurrency, but I think that Department of Government Efficiency was good marketing that has absolutely nothing to do with the mission of DOGE. The mission of DOGE is to attack the type of people that Elon Musk and Donald Trump think look down upon them or get in their way or hindrances to them. Elon Musk, across all of his businesses, runs into problems with the law. That can be the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, because there's a lot of employment discrimination that occurs at Musk companies. It can be NHTSA, the Highway Transportation Agency, because Teslas tend to crash needlessly. It can be the FAA because of the bad actions of SpaceX. You name one of his companies, it is often getting in the way of multiple government regulators. So Elon Musk hates government because Elon Musk does not like being told what to do. He is essentially a petulant preteen who's just like rather large and rich, but he is a rich, large preteen, and that he is taking a wrecking ball against the things that he dislikes. Efficiency has absolutely nothing to do with it. And obviously Donald Trump is pretty similar in terms of his mentality. So I think we should ignore the name and not believe it has anything to do with the actual mission of the actual Doge that exists in reality.
Has your organization ever had to do anything like this before? This kind of
no,
tracking?
Absolutely not. I mean, we were definitely at times critics of the Biden administration. We are nonpartisan. We are against corporate influence in politics. And obviously, corporate influence exists when Democrats are in charge, when Republicans are in charge. You know, we did not like Jeffrey Zients being Biden's chief of staff for the final 2 years. He's essentially a private equity vulture capitalist. We think that had a lot of impact on how he managed the administration, and we criticized him in real time. So we've had to be critical of every past president, and we imagine we'll be critical of all presidents in the future, assuming civil society continues to exist in the future. But nothing of this scale. I mean, I think even Nixon had some patriotism, and I really don't see any patriotism in how this government is being run. There's no point other than to make progressives and liberals and the well-educated people who follow these things closely. The goal is to make them angry. There is no alternative vision on order. This is not an issue of ideology. This is people having a temper tantrum and the consequence is a broken government.
Do you know if other authoritarian type governments around the world operate this way, or do they not bother with the kind of thing Trump and Musk are doing in terms of these agencies?
I mean, I think there are aspects of the Doge and Trump approach of smashing things and leaving everyone on edge that are common to authoritarian countries when leaders are accumulating power and destroying their enemies and destroying the types of institutions which are semi-permanent and therefore can stand in the way of new leaders consolidating power. So I think there are elements of it in that regard. I think this is kind of unusually just broadly destructive and quickly of the operations of government in the sense that a lot of what they're doing is really just destroying agencies to be destroying agencies. Like they're going after aspects of the State Department that are useful to making America more powerful around the world. And you would think they would want that capacity. You would think they would take over things like Voice of America and use it to spout MAGA propaganda, maybe support Orban, support Putin and other international allies. I think they are breaking things in a really irrational manner. I mean, there definitely are huge components of corruption here. Don't get me wrong. It's not all irrational. People, rich people know that they're getting some favors done for them. But also there are rich people who sometimes rely on things like having the NOAA, the part of the Commerce Department that looks into weather, like get correct information so that American agriculture can benefit, American transportation. Tornado warnings are a good thing for people across ideology, and whether or not you remember the 1% or the 99%. So some of this is really ad hoc, but I think it also means that everyone feels threatened, and threatened people might be more willing to kick bribes to the administration than unthreatened people. So at some level, he's just sending a message, there are no sacred cows. I or we, depending on Trump or Musk or how you want to think about it, they are sending a message that we can bust anything that we want.
Yeah, and I would think that some corporate leaders would be a little upset because they kind of like regulation in the sense that it kind of organizes their industries, not the kind that limits them too much, but there is a kind of regulation that just makes it easier for them to operate. Do you get that sense?
I mean, there are obviously many different types of corporations. I think many traditional corporate leaders are probably appalled and were actually probably upset even before the Trump tariff was put in place in such a wildly ad hoc and, apparently generated by artificial intelligence, or at least plausibly may have been so generated. I think that they have been upset. It is not in the interest of their business. But I also think that there's a little bit of a backlash against civil society that's been occurring among elites. I think there were a series of interviews that Marc Andreessen, the Silicon Valley titan, gave between the run-up, between the election and inauguration. And I don't think he was just speaking for himself or even necessarily Silicon Valley in complaining that rich people are being vilified on academic universities and people who build things should be accorded great power and great respect, and that that wasn't adequate, that young people were coming out of university too woke in their terms. I think there's a lot of deep-seated anger by a lot of rich people that they are not getting the respect that they feel like they deserve. And I think that, to many of us, the incredible growing economic inequality in this country suggests that rich people being concerned about level of respect is insane. But just because it's insane doesn't mean it isn't happening. So while I think a lot of rich people have and corporate executives wish it were being done somewhat differently and in some regards, I think they are enjoying some of the disquietude that they are inflicting upon people that have bothered them in the past. I think that there's some Schadenfreude happening in corporate C-suites that is really speaks very badly about them, but I think it's no less real for that fact.
And you mentioned the tariffs. I take it that is something you're following pretty closely, the back and forth on that.
I mean, we're following it closely. I mean, we're not trade experts, but you don't need to be a trade expert to think that these trade policies are incredibly poorly designed. You also don't even have to be a zealot that says that tariffs are never imaginably decent to say that these tariff policies, where we're tariffing islands full of penguins and without people, that you're generating fake formulas that bear no relation to any economic theory. Like that's just not how you run a country, that that's not how you're going to reindustrialize the United States, that this is all ridiculous, that it opens up the avenue for corporations to make special pleadings with Trump for exceptions. And I'm sure that pleading for exceptions, they'll be willing to do things in return for said exceptions. So there's a certain type of logic for Trump. But outside of that, there's no logic for the national interest. And that's why we fear corporate influence in politics, is that, if corporations think that they can get exceptions, they're not going to fight back against this sort of thing. But I mean, to some extent, corporations brought about this administration, they brought about this government, they brought about a Congress that is compliant with this administration, and they are going to have to deal with it. And some of them are going to place the right bribes at the right moment, and they're going to stay on the right side of the administration, and others will not. And hopefully, there'll be a lesson learned, and we can change this type of politics. But the politics of the moment are distressing.
And if people want to find what you're tracking, would they just go to your website? Would that be the best thing?
So if you go to the revolvingdoorproject.org, it's just that slash Doge Watch is where we have a link to all the various trackers that we've already created, and we're going to be creating more in the future. Or you can just Google Revolving Door Project. We also have a free Substack at least twice a week, where we are focusing on both broad themes about corporate influence in our politics, as well as a weekly corruption calendar, where we try to give you a sense of the breadth of corruption that's occurring in Trump's America. And we always take ideas from people. But yeah, all the information is free and it's a public service.
That's Jeff Hauser of the Revolving Door Project speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on May 12th, 2025.